Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, March the 30th. Oh, man. Wow, y'all. It's been a long time since we've since we've seen a live basketball game, a live NBA game. And, you know, there's two questions that I've been receiving the most consistent since the season has been on suspension, the Sixers season. Well, let's say the NBA season. But there's two questions in regards to the Sixers. A, everyone wants to know what's going on with Ben Simmons. You know, the thing about Ben, we all know that, well, we don't all know, but, you know, people who've been following the media and following Ben's situation, he's supposed to get an evaluation this week, you know, the update to see what's going on with the doctor. So that supposedly, you know, that was scheduled to happen 3 weeks ago. So this is that. So we'll see if that happens. You know, it's also one of those things that, you know, the team isn't really practicing. The guys aren't getting together. So the information may not come out in the official statement capacity like it would have beforehand. So we'll find out about that. The second biggest question that I hear a lot pertains to Brett Brown. Like, everyone wants to know about Brett Brown's fate. And, you know, with the season would have continued and the Sixers would not have gone far in the playoffs, you know, I'm here to say that Brett Brown is going to be gone, right? As if the season is canceled, something inside of me, I mean, I still think that there's a great chance that he'll leave, but there's a slim chance, I believe, that he could possibly retain his job just because of, it's going to be one of those things where, let's just say, you know, he has 2 years left on his deal. Do you want to guarantee him $5 million next year? And then, who knows, if he has a team option, then maybe you may do that. You know, you may say, okay, I'm just going to pay him $5 next year, and I'm not going to pick up his option the following year. You know, or if it's one of those things where, you know, you got $10 million left on the books, you lost money this year, talking about Josh Harris, talking about the NBA, are you going to basically say, okay, Brett, I'm going to give you $10 million, but I know in order for me to get a big-name coach, a coach that will take this job, I'm going to have to pay them a lucrative deal as well. So are you willing, if you're Josh Harris, to do that? You know, some may say no. You know, so what Josh could do is say, okay, what we'll do, we'll bring you back. We'll give you a chance. Let's just assume the season goes on schedule like it typically does. So we'll give you a chance in October, early October, or late October, which is going to be 2 weeks in November. And if stuff doesn't turn around, then all of a sudden, it's early enough to bring in someone else. It's early enough to bring in someone else. And then, you know, you say, you know, I gave Brett a chance. You know, and then we could bring in a pretty good big-name coach and just, like, push the restart button, so to speak. So to me, that's an option. And I think that it's something that goes on. I mean, I think that's something that the Sixers could be leaning towards. Because let's face it, I mean, right now we don't know, but if the season is canceled, they're losing money now. Everyone's losing money. But if this season is canceled, they're going to lose a lot of money. A lot of money. It's crazy. Now, I've got a great question from Steve, right? So he's the one, he says, assuming the rest of the season is canceled, what's Brett Brown's future? Basically, I think I answered that question right then and there. You know, it's one of those things where I think that, you know, he could continue on if the season is canceled. You know, it depends on what the ownership wants to do. Because let's face it, right now, I know I'm getting questions from y'all asking about that. But for the most part, no one really, outside of these little mailbags and stuff like that, people aren't on Twitter. You know, people aren't saying all types of things about Brett Brown needs to go. He's not getting booed. He's not this. He's not that. You know, people worrying about, hey, man, where am I going to get my next check from? Like, am I going to lose my job? You know, am I going to get COVID-19? Are people going to stay away from me? I don't want the kids to go outside. You know, wow, can I help my daughter with her math? You know, things like that. So, you know, right now, Brett Brown really isn't the focus. So when that happens, it tends to die down a little bit. And then decisions are made without people putting pressure on ownership groups, right? So now there's a related question, right? Is Brown like Doug Collins with the Bulls? Good enough to get to a point, but not to the next level. That's a good question. Actually, that's a great question. You know, at first glimpse, when you hear a question like that, you say to yourself, I can see that. I mean, you look at Brett Brown's background. I mean, some people may even argue that he wasn't even good enough to get to this level. That's the perception. I don't know if that's true, but that's the perception. I'll be right back. And what I meant by that is good enough to get to this level is, you look at it, the Sixers were tanking when Brett Brown was hired. He was hired under the pretense to be a coach that would lead a team that was looking to lose many games on purpose. They were looking to bring in guys to whereas, since Brett Brown is a quote-unquote workout guy, to where he could bring in a player development guy, he could bring in young talent, and they could identify who is someone that they can keep on, i.e. a TJ McConnell, i.e. a Robert Covington. Two guys that they picked up. TJ was undrafted. Covington was undrafted by Houston, but the Sixers acquired him off of waivers, and they became legitimate NBA. They are legitimate NBA players. So Brett Brown's job was A, to man the ship when this team was going to lose an endless amount of games, hopefully, so they can get first-round picks, and he would work out guys and help develop guys into bona fide NBA talent. Typically, when a team stops tanking, that coach is gone. They typically bring in someone else to start the rebuild. You know, it's hard to get, when you're tanking like this, it's hard to get like a primetime coach to take that job. No one wants to take those losses, especially when you consider, I believe Brett Brown lost, the first 3 years, he was 47-200. You know, I mean, Brett Brown could win buku NBA titles. He could go this and that, and he probably still won't have a career winning record. He won't have a winning record. You know, he just probably won't. So typically, a coach of that stature is not going to take this type of job. So you get like an unproven guy, a young, you just get someone like that. But then You get it like a Brett Brown type, like when he was there, like a former assistant, someone that's going to take it. But then what happens is when you go to the movement, when you go on to the next stage of when you want to win, that's when you come out with a top-notch guy, like a coach. So when Brett Brown, then you got people think about it. Brett Brown's first extension came during that 10-72 year. Like, I mean, this team only won 10 games, and they gave him an extension. That was his first extension. They gave him an extension off of that. So, you know, that's the norm. So, okay. So then when you talk about Doug Collins, so we're going to compare him to Doug Collins and Jordan. And, you know, Doug Collins, a lot of people here may remember Doug Collins as one of the 76ers' all-time greats. He was the coach of the 76ers before Brett Brown took over. But his claim to fame to a lot of people was coaching Michael Jordan in Chicago and then coaching Michael Jordan again with the Washington Wizards. Now, Doug Collins was, you know, he took Jordan, when a young Jordan, to a certain level. But then what happened is when the team realized that they needed to carry on and get better, they went out and hired Phil Jackson. And they went on to become the Bulls that had two three-peats, the Jordan Pippen Bulls. Now, so when you look at Brett Brown's situation and you say, okay, they got these two all-stars and Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, all Tobias Harris, a max guy, close to max guy, Al Horford, Josh Richardson, all this and that. Something is amiss. Something has to go. Maybe they need to bring in a new coach. Maybe you go out there and you get a Mark Jackson or a Van Gundy, Jeff Van Gundy, or someone else that could take them over the top. I can see where someone says that. Just because the Sixers have underachieved. But is in a way, so it's similar, you can say that on the surface. But if you really want to be honest, it's different. And here's why. While Brett Brown makes some rookie mistakes, you can argue that Brett Brown, he's not a rookie coach. But if you really want to give him, if you really want to be honest, you can't really base, you can't include the first 4 years of the 76ers, his tenure, if anything. For the first three, they were flat out tanking, blatantly tanking. He didn't have any talent. I mean, he developed two guys, but then they got rid of most of their first round picks, the guys that they were supposed to build around, right? And then what happens is, then in year four, Ben Simmons gets hurt and he doesn't play, right? So then that season turns out to be another tank year. Eventually it was. So then next thing you know, the next season, the real season, when, you know, Ben comes back and that became, you know, his second year, but it was really, I mean, it was his rookie year, but it was really his second year. The Sixers go on and win 50-something games. Last year, they won 50-something games. They have early exits in the first round of the playoffs. No, take that back. Early exits in the second round of playoffs, man. It must be early in the morning. Second round of playoffs. So people were like, the first year, they lost to Boston. Ben Simmons was kind of exposed a little bit. The guys that Brett Brown brought in were exposed a little bit. And, you know, defensively. And then next thing you know, like, wow. Okay, that's not, he got out coached. How come he didn't call a timeout in the Boston series? Right? Then last year, with certain things that happened in Toronto, and he made some good coaching decisions, some good coaching moves at point. But when they lose, you know, you're saying to yourself, maybe they need to get rid of him. Right? That's what they're saying. Now, again, the difference between Brett Brown and Doug Collins is Doug Collins didn't have to deal with the all this uncertainty in the roster. And, you know, yes, he had Michael Jordan. He had a megastar, Michael Jordan, he could depend on. Can you imagine if Doug Collins had Michael Jordan and Michael Jordan had as many injuries as Joel Embiid? Can you imagine if Scottie Pippen and guys like that missed their first year? Can you imagine if each year they had to keep making trades at the deadline to bring in guys? Can you imagine all the distant roster moves that they had? I mean, think about it. The roster has been extremely inconsistent. Extremely inconsistent. And they had so many injuries. I mean, even down to this year. I mean, it's not Brett Brown's fault that Al Horford and Joel Embiid don't fit. You know, I mean, and this is a different NBA, y'all. Michael Jordan had a lot of power. He was the guy. I mean, in my opinion, he's the GOAT. Some people may say Wilt. Some people may say LeBron. Some people may say Oscar, Kareem, whomever. Michael Jordan is the GOAT in my opinion. The GOAT. But right now is a really, 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 really players league. It's straight up players league. So with that being said, it's like, so you have, people need to realize that in order for with a players league, you got to keep players happy, right? And the guy on this team that you have to keep happy is Joel Embiid. So what happens is everything runs through Joel. Everything does. There are times when it looks like it will be the team will be better suited to play more of a balanced attack, better suited for Joel to get down on the block, better suited to do what he wants. But guess whose team it is? It's Joel's. Now, you can argue that when Joel was younger, that could have been something that they could have said, hey, look, man, you're going to do it this way. But also, when he was younger, they didn't have this type of talent. So they did everything for him. Go ahead, just do what you want. So, you know, and now again, Michael Jordan is the GOAT. They ran a lot of stuff through him. But right about now, you got to keep Joel happy. This is the new NBA. Coaches get fired all the time for not keeping guys happy. And Joel Embiid has the owner's ear. So, A, you got to keep him happy, which always isn't good, isn't may not be go along with all the team goals. I mean, you know, players nowadays, they always say we want to help the team. We want to help the team. Yeah, you want to help the team as long as you're involved in the game plan. So, Brett Brown has to deal with that. He has to deal with injuries. Right? You know, I mean, he's in a situation where, let's face it, not only do the players have the power, the players hang out with the owners. So basically, you're like, if he doesn't do what I want to do, y'all gonna fire him? So it's just a tough situation. So when we say, and I get the question about the comparison to Doug Collins, from the outside looking in, you'll say, yeah. But Doug Collins was in a better situation. And whatever Doug Collins did in Chicago, it seems like Michael Jordan had the utmost respect for him, because what he did was, when he went to Washington, he hired Doug Collins as the coach. So, you know, there's a lot of that going on. But hey, I want to thank you all for listening. Have a great, great, great day. Peace.